Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Iran says it will respond to the U.S. missile strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities this weekend. The U.S. State Department warning Americans in the region to take precautions. Retired Marine Corps Colonel and ABC News contributor Steve Ganyard says thousands of U.S. troops stationed in the region are also in the threat zone.
The real danger is whether they come back at some of the troops that are deployed in the region. Just about every one of the Gulf states, to include Saudi Arabia, has U.S. forces there. It's well known where they are. So if the Iranians want to come back at the U.S., it probably will not be against the ships at sea, but rather those troops that are stationed in each of these countries in the Persian Gulf region.
President Trump set to meet with his national security team today. Iran continues to launch waves of missiles toward Israel, the majority of those missiles being intercepted. Extreme heat gripping much of the country with dangerous triple-digit temperatures stretching from the southeast to the northeast this week. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Development of a new tool designed to detect wildfires at the University of Wisconsin-Madison could face delays due to federal funding cuts. According to a WPR report, the next-generation fire system uses artificial intelligence and real-time satellite images to track the spread of wildfires. Officials say the funding delays are the result of a review of National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration contracts by the Trump administration. The federal agency partnered with the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies at UW-Madison to develop the tool. With just days to go until the deadline to approve a new biennial budget, Republicans in the state Senate don't appear to be in agreement on a plan. A new biennial budget must be signed by July 1st, or spending levels will remain the same as they were under the last biennial budget. Some Republicans, like State Senator Chris Kapenga of Waukesha, say they may be better off with the old budget to avoid giving Governor Tony Evers a chance to use his partial veto power. Governor Evers previously used the partial veto to increase school funding for 400 years. The Blue Hills Sportsmen's Club and Accessibility Wisconsin will be holding a trap shooting fundraiser this weekend in honor of two Northwest Wisconsin police officers who were killed in the line of duty. The Fallen Hero Memorial Trap Shoot will be held on Saturday at the Blue Hills Sportsmen's Club in Rice Lake. An opening ceremony will be held at 11:30 a.m. honoring officers Emily Breidenbach and Hunter Scheel. More information is available online, and the proceeds will go to the Concerns of Police Survivors and the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Death Response Team. A groundbreaking ceremony for a new library building in Cable is scheduled for this weekend. Forest Lodge Library is inviting area residents to celebrate the groundbreaking at the Highway M site on Saturday at 11 a.m. The organization received $1.8 million in funding from the Flexible Facility Grant Program and community donations for the expansion. The library currently has about 1,000 square feet of space. Officials say they've been using a nearby church to store some of their collection, which staff walk to multiple times each day. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight as the Brewers open a home series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Milwaukee now just 3.5 games out of first place after sweeping the Twins over the weekend. 9-8 yesterday at Target Field. The Brewers had a 9-3 lead thanks to Rhys Hoskins with a double, a home run, and two runs batted in. But closer Trevor McGill had to come in the eighth to hold off Minnesota. Pat Murphy says catcher William Contreras also doing a great job setting up batters, and praised McGill getting his 17th save of the season already.
The kid's been pretty consistent. He knows who he is. And again, William Contreras was great back there.
NBA Finals, Oklahoma City pulled ahead to win the title in Game 7, 103-91. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle on losing his star player from Oshkosh, Tyrese Halliburton, to a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
What happened with Tyrese is all of our hearts dropped.
That's Rick Carlisle with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cooler today with some free AC, partly sunny skies, and highs flirting with about 80. And the chance of some showers or thunderstorms, especially this afternoon as the cold front starts to move south. It'll keep us dry tomorrow with highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba will be joining us at 9:30 Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing in hour number two. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the second hour of our program. Well, Trump has done it, and so has Iran. The headline, Iran launches missiles at U.S. bases in Qatar and Iraq. Qatar closed their airspace, period, to all travel just a little bit ago, and a couple of hours ago. And now Iran has actually launched these missiles. We'll keep you up to date on that. Trump is meeting in the Situation Room right now. Dmitry Medvedev, the vice president of, he's kind of Putin's right-hand man. He's the guy that Putin was taking turns being president with back when they were honoring their constitutional two-term requirement. Medvedev has said that other nations, implying Russia, are more than willing to sell nuclear weapons to Iran. Trump has now gone to his Nazi-infested social media site to rant about that. Here we are. Americans are waiting for retaliation, assassination, terrorism. Are we going to have another 9/11 here in the United States? The State Department has issued a travel warning for Americans. If you're thinking of traveling anywhere in the world, look out. This is just wild stuff. There's a bunch of points that I think are really worth making around this. I wrote about them in my daily take today over at HartmanReport.com. The title of the piece is Trump's Iran War Fever, a deadly cure for his political collapse. And yeah, number one, my article starts out by pointing out that George W. Bush was the guy who first said it out loud and then acted on it. You know, when you're in political trouble, start a little war. In 1999, he told his biographer, Mickey Herskowitz, that if he became president, he was going to attack Iraq, because that would be the key to having a successful presidency. That would get him support. And sure enough, before 9/11, his poll ratings, his approval ratings were in the crapper totally. Increasingly, we were starting to learn. In fact, the New York Times had done that review of the ballots in Florida, and we started to learn that actually it looked like Al Gore had won the presidency. It was just handed to Trump by the Supreme Court, by five Republicans in the Supreme Court, two of whom had been appointed by his father, including Clarence Thomas. So, as I recall. So, Bush is really, or Trump is really in a mess, just like Bush was. For Trump, its inflation is up, his tax cut bill is in trouble. The GOP war on our schools and libraries is backfiring. Women are dying and furious because of red state abortion bans. Armed thugs are kidnapping people off our streets without warrants or due process. His destruction of USAID has killed an estimated 300,000 people so far. Immigration raids are causing food to rot in the fields. Epstein files are still hidden. Nobody but billionaires wants Trump to sell off the public lands. The housing crisis is worsening. Putin's made a fool of Trump with his murderous campaign against Ukraine. Trump's cuts to Social Security and Medicare, or DOGE's cuts, that's Trump's cuts, are creating havoc for people who are just turning 65. That's 10,000 people a day. trying to sign up for these programs. Musk now knows every penny you've ever earned and every drug you've ever taken. Republicans are on a national purge of voter rolls in blue cities and red states. And between 5 and 10 million people showed up to Trump, you know, to protest Trump last weekend. Or the weekend before. So why not follow Bush's advice and launch a little war? Well, it looks like that's exactly what Trump did. However, whenever we've gone to war in the past, Korea in 1950, Vietnam in 65, Kosovo in 99, Afghanistan and Iraq in 2001 and 2003, the president has always gone to Congress to get some sort of approval. We haven't had a declaration of war since 1945, but we have always had at least something. You know, this authorization to use military force. In 1974, after the Nixon abuses with regard to Vietnam, among other things, the War Powers Act was passed to explicitly say no more police actions. Because the way they got around that was they said Vietnam was not a war. It was a police action. Remember that? That was, you know, first Eisenhower, then Kennedy's, then LBJ's, and then ultimately Nixon's shtick on that. So Bibi Netanyahu has been trying to get, you know, an American president to attack Iran ever since, well, since the 1990s. I mean, he was leaning on Bill Clinton in his first term as prime minister of Israel. So and all of this is not to say that Iran is not, you know, a problem. I mean, I used to travel a lot to Israel. I helped start one of what is now the largest child caring facility, you know, for abandoned, abused, and orphaned kids in the entire country. And I have dear friends who live in Israel. And like I said, you know, Louise and I have spent a lot of time there. And I've been in that country when suicide bombers killed people close to us. I mean, you know, like blocks away. And those suicide bombers were funded by Iran, by and large. And, you know, their death to the Jews rhetoric has really, frankly, you know, gotten old. And they oppress their own people. Women have no rights. And perhaps most significantly, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has looted Iran to the tune of $95 billion. I mean, this guy is more of a kleptocrat than even Trump or Putin. But does any of that make this America's war? Does Iran actually represent a threat to the United States? And if it does, shouldn't Congress have a say in it? I mean, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution says Congress shall have the power to declare war. Only Congress. There's not a single mention of war powers in Article 2, which is about the president. So, you know, that's why Wilson, Woodrow Wilson, FDR, Truman, Harry Truman, Jack Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Bill Clinton, both Bushes, all went to Congress to get approval before dropping bombs on other people. I mean, even Obama used Bush's AUMF to legitimize his attacks on Libya. Trump has no such authority, and he's not even claiming it. He didn't write a letter saying he didn't have the Office of Legal Counsel in the White House write a letter saying, here's the legal reason why we can bomb Iran. There is nothing there. Trump is essentially saying we can bomb Iran because I said so. And this fact, this startling reality that, you know, this is what dictators do, right? I dictate. I say this is it and that is it. This is being completely ignored or largely ignored by our media, which just blows my mind. I mean, this is the first time in my lifetime, and perhaps I believe the first time in American history, that we've had a president commit an act of war without the approval of Congress. You know, and by the way, Thomas Massie and Warren Davidson, two Republicans, the first from Kentucky, the second from Ohio, agreed. Massie says, while President Trump's decision may prove just, it's hard to conceive a rationale that's constitutional. Davidson said this is not constitutional. Sean Casson of Illinois, who's a Democrat, said no president has the authority to bomb another country that does not pose an imminent threat to the U.S. without the approval of Congress. I mean, it's there you go. So, you know, we've got this unconstitutional seizing of more power into the White House, into the executive branch. It's also important to note that in 2015, President Obama worked out a deal with Iran, and they were honoring it. That deal did away with 97% of their enriched uranium. It went from 10,000 kilograms down to only 300 kilos, dismantled two-thirds of their centrifuges, capped their enrichment at 3.67%, which is the level that you use for nuclear reactors. And yes, they have a nuclear reactor. In fact, it was built by Russia. And they allowed IAEA inspectors in all their sites. But Trump tore that up, I believe, at the insistence of Benjamin Netanyahu in his first term, Trump's first term. And had Trump not torn that agreement up, we would have no reason to be bombing Iran right now because they would not be enriching uranium. But here we are. We've got 50,000 U.S. troops in the region. Apparently, there's Iranian missiles on their way to at least two base, U.S. bases, one in Qatar, one in Iraq. And to crank the fury quotient in Iran up to 11, I mean, if you really want to have the Iranian people rally around the Ayatollah, here's how you do it. Trump is now calling for regime change, like Bush did in Iraq. It doesn't work. These things, as Congressman Conner just pointed out, have to go organically. They have to go from the bottom up. Now, one of the pro-bombing arguments that Trump's war hawks have made is that, hey, we're supporting Ukraine against Russia. Why shouldn't we support Israel against Iran? Well, we haven't bombed Russia. It's apples and oranges. It's a completely different thing. And by the way, Russia is Iran's ally. And now you've got, like I said, Medvedev saying that, you know, maybe we'll supply a nuclear weapon to Iran. I mean, this is, keep in mind, Iran has supplied Putin's military with thousands of deadly drones, their Shahed drones, that, have really helped them out in their war against Iran. So, you know, could this end up as World War III? I think it's not impossible. Now, what Trump is planning on or hoping on or betting on is that, you know, back on January 3rd, 2020, when he killed Iranian General Qasem Soleimani just outside the Baghdad airport, Iran's response was pretty mild. They lobbed some missiles into a U.S. airbase in Iraq that caused traumatic brain injury in a little over 100 U.S. soldiers as a result of the shockwave. But, you know, that was about it. And Trump downplayed it and said, oh, it was just a few headaches. And I'm thinking that Trump is betting that history is going to repeat itself. But I'm not sure that Iran today is the same Iran that it was in 2020. And then to make things even worse, now Trump put Kerry Lake in front of Radio Free Europe or Radio Liberty, Radio Voice of America. And she has now gutted Radio Farda. Radio Farda is the Farsi language. That's the language they speak in Iran, is the Farsi language U.S. broadcasting service that uses giant transmitters in Qatar to speak to people in Iran. And it's now dead because Trump doesn't like pro-democracy propaganda being distributed around the world through Voice of America, if you want to call that propaganda. Now, there's also this belief that Iran has sleeper cells in the United States that could do something like 9/11. I mean, this could get really bad really fast. And Trump, I'm guessing, is also betting that if it does, that will play into his hands, too. I mean, after 9/11, look at how people rallied around George W. Bush. If we get hit with another 9/11 style attack here in the United States, maybe not, you know, airplanes hitting buildings, but something that kills thousands of Americans in a mass casualty event. Are Americans going to blame Trump or are they going to blame Iran? I suspect that they will rally around Trump and blame Iran. I mean, that's just, you know, history tells us that. So what do we do? Well, you know, the National Security Powers Act. Now you've got this new piece of legislation co-sponsored by Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie. Call your member of Congress, 202-224-3121, and tell them to co-sponsor that legislation.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
18 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist. Today, the fastest growing religious group in the country is the non-religious, especially among the young. That progress is heartening, but the religious pushback is fierce and the forces of Christian nationalism are well organized. Our progress won't continue unless we work together so that reason and our secular constitution will prevail.
That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics working to keep state and church separate, just like our founders intended. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation today. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Join us. Go to ffrf.us/freedom or text Hartman to 511-511 and become a member today. Text Hartman with two N's to 511-511 because the only thing worse than a sermon is when it comes with legislation. Text fees may apply.
Find what you love and love what you find. A Total Wine & More, the place to go for sipping rosés with seltzers on ice, making margaritas with your favorite tequilas. It's warm out, let's go. Our prices are low on spirits, beer, and wine. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Tuesday, June 24th is the New York City primary, with 11 Democrats vying to become their party's nominee for mayor. The election also features two major democracy reforms, ranked choice voting and public financing of elections. Five independents, two third party candidates, and one Republican are also running for mayor, but are not on Tuesday's ballot. Nine candidates have qualified for public matching campaign funds distributed by the New York City Campaign Finance Board. Candidates for mayor must raise $250,000 from 1,000 contributors to qualify for a 9-to-1 match and follow disclosure and other rules. Mayor Eric Adams was denied matching funds due in part to federal corruption allegations. Voters will choose among the 11 Democratic candidates using ranked choice voting. One poll shows former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo with the highest number of first choice votes at 36%, followed by New York Assemblyman Zoran Mandani at 34% and New York City Comptroller Brad Lander at 13%. Mamdani and Lander endorsed each other, and as the ranked choice system eliminates the lowest choices, one simulation shows that Lander's second choice votes could go to Mamdani, edging out Cuomo to get a 50% plus one majority. Polls are open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. We have more on the city's election, campaign finance matching, and ranked choice voting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. If you've probably heard the rumor, you know, you can't regrow cartilage, but what if that's not entirely true? Science has discovered a unique protein that may help support joint cartilage regeneration naturally. Imagine moving freely without stiffness and pain. And the bonus, a glowing, hydrated look with fewer fine lines and wrinkles. Meet Native Path Collagen, a clean, single-ingredient formula made with hydrolyzed collagen peptides. No fillers, no additives, no artificial junk. It's third-party tested for purity and packed with only type 1 and 3 collagen fibers, the ones your body needs the most for healthy joints, skin, bones, hair, nails, and gut. Just two scoops a day delivers 18 grams of protein. You can mix it in coffee, tea, or any drink. Louise puts it in our coffee in the morning. It's completely flavorless and easy to use. Consistency is the key. Right now, get a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price and free shipping only at getnativepath.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's getnativepath.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today.
Promises made but none fulfilled. Now he seeks a war to mask the guilt. Trump can't govern, so he won't. When the polls drop, he sounds the alarms. Distractions his game, chaos his charm. Trump can't govern, so he won't. Factories closed, the jobs all gone. Blames the world, says he's the one to make us great, to right the wrongs. But all he does is drop more bombs. Trump can't govern, so he won't. When the truth hurts, he brings the harm. Fires a rage while he stays calm. Trump can't govern, so he won't.
25 minutes past the hour. Perpetual crisis mode. How Trump uses emergency declarations to push his radical agenda. This is mind-boggling. Multiple times now, Donald Trump has declared emergencies. He declared an energy emergency, and he used that to gut green provisions that, you know, subsidize green power and things like that, and used that to expand, you know, fossil fuel drilling and production. This is what tyrants typically do, is they use emergency powers to get around constitutional strictures. Back in March, he invoked the Alien Enemies Act, and which has only been used three times before, going all the way back to 1789 or 98 when it was put into law. He did a proactive order to federalize thousands of state national guards based on a state of emergency he declared in Los Angeles, essentially. He claimed in April that foreign trade and economic practices have created a national emergency. I mean, two courts have rejected that, but he's still imposing tariffs in violation of Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. And then when judges try to stop him, he goes off in angry rants against Article 3 judges. 15 Democratic attorneys general last month sued him to start his energy emergency declaration, which lets him override permitting rules. I mean, you know, Jamie Raskin said, he said, authoritarians thrive on emergencies. They love to create emergencies in order to invoke and exercise extraordinary authoritarian powers. This was the advice of fascist philosopher Carl Schmitt for dictators. Declare an emergency to have the exception swallow the rule and never go back to the room. There you go. 27 minutes past the hour. I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I'll be right back with your calls.
Have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you over 50 and constantly feeling tired, bloated, or just a little off? Don't ignore it. Those could be signs that your liver is crying for help. As we age, our liver, which is essential for metabolism, digestion, immunity, and detoxification, needs extra support and protection. If neglected, it can leave you feeling sluggish and constantly off your game. That's where Active Liver from New Nordic comes in. Available in easy-to-take tablets or delicious gummies, Active Liver combines powerful natural ingredients like turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract to help support healthy liver function. With Active Liver, you're giving your body an essential daily defense against toxins from alcohol, fatty foods, and sweets, helping you reclaim your energy, improve digestion, lose the bloat, and strengthen your immunity so you can look and feel your best again. Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or newnordicusa.com.
How many different beauty potions do you have sitting on your bathroom counter right now, eh? Well, if it's more than just Vibrance Super C Serum, listen up. The ingredients in this one bottle can replace your day creams, eye creams, night creams, neck creams, wrinkle creams, and dark spot reducers. Louise loves this stuff. She says it really works and really noticeably improved her skin. Super C Serum is made with the highest quality ingredients, including vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, vitamin B5, and vitamin E, and with noticeable results. Simplify your skincare routine, get a healthier complexion, and minimize wrinkles and age spots with Vibrance. And if you don't find it better than your current skincare routine, you'll get a full refund. Just go to Vibrance.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, to save up to 37% off and get free shipping. That's Vibrance, V-I-B-R-I-A-N-C-E.com. Save up to 37% off and get free shipping. That's Vibrance.com/Tom.
County fair season will be here before you know it, and many of the exhibitors you'll see at those fairs will be 4-H members. 4-H is more than bringing a project to the fairgrounds and earning a blue ribbon. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, and we're visiting with the Jackson County 4-H educator, Alex Galston. He's breaking the traditional mold of 4-H by bringing those types of experiences to classrooms.
And really, 4-H is very adaptable. There's lots of ways that people can participate in 4-H. And one of those ways is with after-school clubs. And so I started reaching out to after-school programs. The main ones are the Jackson County Boys and Girls Club and Ho-Chunk Nation's Youth Services. And so I started out just by email communication with their supervisors in charge, having meetings with them, and just seeing if there was any interest that the adults at those organizations thought that the youth might have.
Alex Galston along with us. He's the Jackson County 4-H educator. If you're looking for a 4-H program near you, check out Wisconsin 4-H online. Many of those 4-Hers are getting ready to brave the heat for county fairs. We'll see how the weather has been shaping the markets after this break.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And thanks to Monarch Media Design, the experts at Monarch can do everything from vinyl graphics to full trailer wraps, serving Madison since 2000. Monarch specializes in vehicle wraps and graphics. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, and let's take a look at those markets. Cash corn is trading at 418 and a quarter, down 10 and a half. New crop corn is trading down 7 and a half at 433 and three quarters. Cash beans are trading at 1057 and three quarters, down 10 and a quarter. New crop beans are trading at 1047 and three quarters, down 13. July wheat is trading at 550 and a half, down 17 and a quarter. July Class 3 milk contract is down 5 cents, trading at $17.46 a hundredweight. August milk is trading down 5 cents at $18.48 a hundredweight. For the latest Wisconsin ag news, visit our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cooler today with some free AC, partly sunny skies, and highs flirting with about 80. And the chance of some showers or thunderstorms, especially this afternoon as the cold front starts to move south. It'll keep us dry tomorrow with highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 79.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
All of your support.
A
Our daily song is now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other platforms. Just look for songs by Louise and Tom Hartman. Check it out. Hey, this stuff really works. Mando created high-performance deodorant for the whole body odor control. It's safe for your pits, packages, and feet. Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized and capable of blocking odors before they even start. The deodorants you're used to just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. Use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go. My guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. I love the fragrance, by the way. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers at shopmando.com, S-H-O-P-Mando.com. Plus, shipping is always free.
Screens are running blind.
Use the code TOM.
Storms out there in the Gulf again, but no one's got the time. The forecasters were furloughed. The warnings came too late. Another town goes under while the tyrants seal our fate. They gutted every agency that kept us safe and sound. Called it efficiency while they burned it to the ground. No science left in sight, just chaos in its place. Mother Nature doesn't wait while fools erase the base. When tyrants rewrite the forecast, the sirens don't cry out. The maps go blank, the lines go dead, and no one hears the shout. They sell off truth for power, leave the rest of us to drown. When tyrants rewrite the forecast, the burning city's down.
Welcome back. 36 minutes past the hour. Looks like we are now at war with Iran. Iran is attacking our bases in Bahrain and in Qatar and in Kuwait. And I've seen reports that they're also attacking us in Iraq, although right now MSNBC is not reporting that. They're just limiting it to these three and playing footage of the missiles being intercepted as they come in. Wild stuff. Donald Trump has kicked the proverbial hornet's nest, and we'll see how many Americans have to pay the price for it. And there is no new intelligence, by the way, that represents that indicates that Iran actually represents a threat to the United States. He's not even making that assertion. You know, George W. Bush at least had the respect to lie to us. So, Joe in San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Well, Tom, I have a few points I want to bring up. I'm sure you've covered these before, but if you humor me, it shouldn't take more than 5 minutes.
Well, try to do it a lot faster than that, Joe.
What's that, sir?
I said try to do it a lot faster than that. I'll give you one or two.
Okay. I'm amazed at how people forget his boondoggles, his failures. And here's five that I have at the top of my mind. Number one, the border wall. It's still going on with Mexico. I understand they built something like 65 feet last year. It's there. Second is, didn't he appoint Jarrett to solve peace in the Middle East? Then he let it go, right?
Yeah.
It was all Jarrett's baby. He put his daughter in China. She was going to smooth that over. I recall her sitting on that table there talking to the the lady from
the
company.
And she got millions of dollars in patents or trademarks or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going around the table. What do you do? What do you do? You know, there's a nuclear scientist. She said, I make purses. Mm-hmm. And the other number point four is a 20. He said he was going to get elected. He dropped the war in Ukraine in 24 hours.
Right.
Not only that, Russia got more involved, and now they're importing North Korean soldiers and troops and techs. Even more involved with his buddy Putin.
Yeah.
And they're sending North Korea. Where, remember the beautiful letter he had with that guy? None of that stuff has worked out.
Yeah.
Now, in my mind, the key thing here, I know you bring up Citizens United, and I will not argue that. That's a very key thing. But he also cheated us out of the Supreme Court justices, three of them.
Yeah, now, two of the three, yeah.
Yeah, and that was our, I thought, our hope. And then now the Insurrection Act, he wants to invoke that. Well, we had the insurrection that he promoted. They weren't going to invoke that then. Now he wants to shove it in the face of California. He can't stand California. He can't stand liberals. He can't stand the actors and stuff. But what's the problem?
He's a pathetic, weak little man who desperately wants approval and love and adoration. Right. If you're not with him, if you're not a sycophant, if you're not bowing down to him, if you're not kissing his ass, he hates you. That's what it comes down to.
They deify higher education. They deify critical thinking. And if you don't believe any of the stuff I just told you, that means you don't have any critical thinking, right?
Yeah, I think you mean vilify. But yeah, I totally get it. Joe, I got to move along, but thanks for the call. Well said. Josh in Kimball, Minnesota. Hey, Josh, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. About Trump, I think he's done more damage than any other idiotic Russian asset can do. But what I was really calling about is the 20-year veteran of the police force yesterday. I don't think you guys were communicating effectively about the mess. Mm-hmm. I think he was saying that, I don't think he was saying local patrols and people sitting at a speed check should be wearing masks.
He was saying SWAT teams. That's specifically what
when
he
they're
said.
Going in. Yes, when they're going in SWAT team or against drug cartels and stuff like that, those mm-hmm. guys have some serious intelligence. And if they can identify you, they've got a whole network of people that can threaten you. So if you want to
wear a mask to take out Guzman, I would not criticize you. I get that. But if you're going to wear a mask to take out Pedro, who's working on my lawn, you're a coward.
No, I totally understand that, and I agree with that. But when you're going after a cartel or like a gang or something like that, I mean,
but that's got to be a tiny fraction of 1% of all police actions. He was defending that far more universally. And I'm sorry, I'm just, these guys, my opinion, if you feel that you have to hide who you are when you are doing a job that the taxpayers are paying for, then either A, you're doing something wrong and that you shouldn't be doing it, or B, you're a coward. And by the way, that's why the Klan wears hoods.
Right. I agree with your position, but I also agree about when they're going after.
Yeah, like I said, if you want to take out Guzman or one of these other drug lords, sure, I get it. But that's not what Trump is doing. Josh, thanks for the call. Byron in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hey, Byron, what's on your mind today?
Tom, I had just a comment about this big, beautiful bill. They're wanting to give tax cuts to the billionaires and corporations. The top 10% always like to say, well, we pay more than our share of taxes. We pay most of the taxes, but that's not because they're overtaxed, which is the implication. It's because the people at the bottom don't pay any taxes at all because of the earned income tax credit.
Well, it's also true that the very people at the very, very top don't pay any income taxes either. Donald Trump paid $750 a year for 16 years.
Right, that as well. And then another thing is most of the wealthy get their wealth not from income but from things they own, like property, stocks, and bonds, and they pay a capital gains tax.
Right, which is a lower rate.
Only when they sell it. And that's 20% is the maximum, which is a lot less than their income tax rate.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I get it.
I mean,
I get it. But the bottom line is that the upper middle class in America is taking it on the chin. If you're making more than $80,000-$90,000 and less than $1 million a year, or probably, I don't make that kind of money, so I don't know, but less than say $600,000 or $700,000 a year, then you're going to be paying probably with state and local taxes probably about half your income in taxes. Whereas if you make over $1 million a year, then you can afford to get somebody involved who can figure out how to give you tax loopholes or make sure that you don't pay taxes.
Didn't Warren Buffett say his effective tax rate was less than his own secretary?
Yeah, that was Warren Buffett. Yeah, he pointed out on multiple occasions that he pays fewer taxes as a, you know, as a percentage. He pays a lower income tax rate than does his secretary. You're absolutely right. Byron, thanks. That was a great point. Well made. Dave in Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, not too much. Look, you know, you're certainly right. Trump is trying to make up for his deficiencies by distracting us. But there is more to it than this. Harry Enten, I saw him get frustrated the other day on CNN because he said the Republican Party is definitely Trump's party. He has 88% approval. Well, what Harry Enten was getting at is this big talk of a schism, right? Like there's the Marjorie Taylor Greens that don't want war. Look, Tom, why we got to ask ourselves, why do the neocons always win? Because they're the only ones that have any information.
Well, and they now, have a lot of money and they have a lot of power. Marjorie Taylor Greene, by the way, deleted her post criticizing, an attack on Iran.
Well, we have them on our side, the tankies. The only difference is they are a little more worldly. They know a little bit more about what's going on. But again, I say we need to look at World War One and how that led to World War Two. I said the other day that I think only Bernie can solve these problems. I was like, man, anybody but Tom would say I'm arrogant. I don't know what I'm talking about. But here's the deal. Like Friedrich Ebert, after World War One, was a social democrat. All right, but he helped set the stage for the rise of the Nazi Party. Why? Because he wanted social order. He weighed all his decisions towards social order after World War One. Yeah. World War One led to World War Two. It's antiquity versus modernity. We have a problem with that, okay? And this is what we're I told you a long time ago that they want to put the Shah back in. The Shah is an authoritarian. Yeah. It's not going to work.
Yeah, no, I agree. Only in this case, it's his son, or maybe his grandson. I think it's his son. And, I don't think the Iranians want a royal family any more than they want, you know, a theocratic dictator. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Taking back the mainstream media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week right here. I'll be right back with you.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WLAKradio.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com.
Well, we were
Taters
busy
pundits on TV. Seems to be that the missiles that Iran is throwing at U.S. bases in Bahrain and Qatar and et cetera are, it's very much like after, when we assassinated Soleimani, Iran notified Iraq that they were going to be throwing these missiles at us. These are big, slow missiles, and they're being easily shot out of the sky. So maybe this is no big deal. Maybe this is just face saving for, domestic consumption within Iran. I'm guessing Iran does not want to be in a war with the United States. We'll see how this plays out. But just for the moment, that seems to be where we're at. Joe in Seattle. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Tom. Hey, I'm a little bit confused on declaration of war. I looked it up on Wikipedia.org, and here's what it says. It says the last time the United States formally declared war using specific terminology on any nation was in 1942, when war was declared against Hungary, Belgrade, and Romania, because President Franklin Roosevelt thought it was improper to engage in hostile against a country without formally.
Right. This was as we were moving deeper and deeper into World War II. Yes, that's true.
Right. And since then, we've had 70 wars without the declaration of Congress.
Yes.
So I'm confused. Is it okay for Donald Trump to do this, or isn't it?
No, it's not. And what's happened in the past is that although Congress has not issued a formal declaration of war since World War II, Congress has authorized presidents to conduct military operations in other countries in pretty much every other case except this bombing of Iran. Congress authorized, they called it a police action, but they authorized the Vietnam War. Several times, actually. The Gulf of Tonkin resolution was probably the most well-known one of those authorizations. Congress authorized the first Gulf War with George Herbert Walker Bush.
Congress authorized the Kosovo war with Bill Clinton. Congress authorized George W. Bush's attacks on Afghanistan and Iraq with what was called the Authorization to Use Military Force, the AUMF, that Hillary Clinton famously voted for, you'll recall, in the United States Senate. And right. And then when Barack Obama attacked Libya, he notified Congress, the Gang of Eight, and said that he was doing it under the provisions of the AUMF. So every previous president that has dropped a bomb on some other country, and I don't have the list of, you said 70, it wouldn't surprise me, but, you know, I mean, like bombing the Houthis and things. The War Powers Act of 74 does say that the president can engage in hostile conflict in response to an attack on us. So if the Houthis throw a missile at a U.S. warship, which they did, you know, the president can bomb the crap out of them without even talking to Congress. So I'm guessing some of those 70 actions, probably the majority of them, fall into that category. But this time, Donald Trump did not notify Congress. He apparently did notify a couple of Republican legislators, but didn't have the decency to notify any of the Democrats. And, you know, and so essentially what he's saying is, I don't need congressional approval. I'm the king. And, you know, we do not have kings in this country. Joe, I got to move on, but thanks for the call. Kenyatta in Los Angeles. Hey, Kenyatta, last 2 minutes of this hour are yours. What's up?
You said something in the last hour that I want to be mildly flippant about, with all due respect. You said that I'm not sure that Iran is the same Iran that it was in 2020.
Hmm.
Is the U.S. 60 months ago, that was 2020, we were fighting in the streets over toilet paper.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out.
Good point. Good point. My point was that I think that they're probably more belligerent now than they were. But, you know, reflecting on that, I actually think I was probably wrong. But back to you.
Okay. Then I wanted to talk about an irony. Now, today or tomorrow, I forget which day, in The Hague, in the Netherlands, NATO is going to have a summit.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they could have that summit without talking about what is going on in Iran with Mr. Netanyahu. But Mr. Netanyahu is wanted by the ICC, which is located in the same place.
Yep.
I'm just wondering what that dialogue is going to look like, because you see, the Rome Statute, and I'm not going to nerd out on that, which is part of the ICC kinds of terms and conditions,
mm-hmm.
Like the Non-Proliferation Treaty, Israel is not a signatory to. And guess who else isn't?
The United States.
The United States.
Yeah.
The US.
Yeah.
I want to know why.
My recollection is that Bush pulled us out of it because there was talk about indicting him as a war criminal, but I might be wrong. It might go back to Reagan. I'd have to look it up.
No, there was one president that actually signed on to it, and then it was withdrawn after him, and that was Bill Clinton.
Uh-huh.
But let me say this. Lastly and most ominously, what Iran has done, the rest of the world can decide to be Libya or North Korea, and the United States and Israel not jump on people with nuclear weapons. That is an ominous fact.
Yeah, that's true. Kenyatta, thank you. And spot on. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
It's summer. Campfires, late night conversations, people swapping stories. But lately, one group is trying to control the whole story, claiming the U.S. was founded as a Christian nation and pushing their religion into courtrooms, classrooms, and even your doctor's office. In Arizona, voters just protected abortion rights in the state constitution, but politicians are trying to undermine it anyway. Texas is pushing bills to force the Ten Commandments into every public school classroom. Seriously. And in Congress, a bill just passed to strip Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming care for all ages. This isn't about personal beliefs. It's about power. And it's all happening under the banner of Christian nationalism. That's where the Freedom From Religion Foundation comes in. They've been defending church-state separation since 1978 in the courts, in schools, and wherever religion tries to take the wheel. If you believe government should serve everyone, not just the religious right, join them. Go to ffrf.us/freedom or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's to 511-511 and become a member today. Because the only story that should run this country is ours, not theirs.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. A U.S. official confirming Iran fired missiles at Qatar, targeting the largest U.S. military base in the region. Some 10,000 U.S. troops stationed there. The missile launches followed the U.S. strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Tel Aviv and says there are more bases in the region.
We had multiple threats, multiple warnings from Iran that they would indeed retaliate to the U.S. strikes on three nuclear facilities. The latest one came from the Iranian president. He's not a key decision maker. The Ayatollah is in normal circumstances, but these are abnormal circumstances. But again, warning that there would be retaliation.
President Trump now huddling with his national security team in the Situation Room. ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
As we anticipate more from the White House and this administration on their reaction and next possible steps, as the president has warned.
Qatar's defense ministry says they've intercepted the Iranian missiles and there are no injuries. This is ABC News.